Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
Drug abuse, robbery, fornication. These are some of the greatest problems in our world today. But did you also know that they will continue to be a rapidly escalating concern during the Great Tribulation too? Welcome, I'm Steve Schwetz, your host on this five-year journey through God's entire Word that we call Through the Bible. Today our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, takes us through Revelation chapter 9, starting at verse 21, where we'll learn that the Antichrist will use these crises to bring mankind into total subjection to himself. Well, we're thankful that even though terrifying times are coming, God has given us a window of opportunity by radio and new technology to reach the whole world with the whole Word of God. And because of this ministry, many are turning to Jesus, including many people who may be thinking they're on their way to heaven, but are sadly mistaken. One listener wrote to Through the Bible about this some years ago, so here's Dr. McGee to read our first letter.
A letter from Bellevue, Washington. It says, "You will never know what you have done for me. For years I felt I was saved, but I was mistaken. When I first heard you years ago, you made the Bible come alive. And thanks to God," and so on. A very wonderful letter. But the thing that makes it especially wonderful is she is 98 years old. Don't tell me that folk, when they reach a ripe old age, can't make a decision for Christ. This dear lady has.
We continue to get letters like this one. For example, a listener in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, recently wrote, "I am 92 and still on the Bible bus, and I'm still enjoying the Word of God. The Bible is one book we will never finish. My wife stepped off the bus about 7 years ago and into eternity, and I will be with her soon. And with our Lord and all of our saved loved ones, thank God." Our next letter comes. This one is from a friend in Cathlamet, Washington, who writes, "What a blessing to hear faithful teaching available several times a day. When teaching in the local church drifted into error, Dr. McGee was an anchor chain holding us to a balanced interpretation of the Word. Thank you for continuing to broadcast Through the Bible. May it continue by God's grace to equip the saints and bring the gospel to the lost." And then here's a letter. This is from a listener named Leslie in Rehoboth, Massachusetts. "I stumbled on Through the Bible on my car radio many years ago. As I got older, I realized how precious this ministry is, helping me to understand the scriptures and thereby drawing closer to God. I thank God for you. Your program is the only place where one gets the whole Bible, not just a few scriptures here and there. I want to support your ministry financially and prayerfully because I want to see the Word of God spread to all parts of the world." And finally, we've got this letter from a listener in Renz, Georgia, who shares, "Please don't ever stop reading the letters from listeners. They are such an encouragement and bring praise to our God for the wonderful blessings on this ministry in bringing the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to many hungry souls throughout the world. I have a whole set of Dr. McGee's paperback volumes of edited messages, which I use as handy references. I also enjoy reading your monthly newsletter." Well, thank you all for such wonderful letters. And if you'd like to share your story with us, call us today and leave a message on our listener testimony line at 1-800-65-BIBLE or email us at BibleBus@ttb.org. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your Word is a gift to us, so open our ears so that we may understand the message that you have for our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, we come to the last verse of the ninth chapter, and I got into it last time just a little ways, but I would like to pursue this a little farther before we move to the next chapter. Now, we are in the period that John has labeled the Great Tribulation. He quit talking about churches at the end of chapter 3 because he had been talking about seven different churches and it was all about the church. Then in chapter 4, we are transferred to heaven and we believe that we see the church there in the representatives of the 24 elders. Now, the church is removed from the earth. We are in the period known as the Great Tribulation period. So that, however the parallel might fit to today, we have to say this is yet for the future. Now let me read again, if I may, verses 20 and 21, and I'm reading in my translation. And the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and copper and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Last time we were dwelling upon that word sorcery. Now, the word sorcery in the Greek is pharmakeion. Now, pharmakeion is almost, by translation, pharmacy. And today, drugstores are called pharmacies. When I was a boy, they were called drugstores. Today, they are pharmacies. And, of course, now they sell everything. But pharmacy means drugs. It's the Greek word for drugs. So that we find out that during the Great Tribulation period, drugs have figured in to the lives of the unsaved a great deal. It, of course, serves several purposes. Drugs enable them to bear the judgments that we've had here of the Great Tribulation period. I'm sure that many a person in that period will turn to drugs when they're bitten by these locusts that have these stings in them. And these locusts stinging them, I'm sure that it's an awful thing. Although they don't die, they feel like they are going to die. And as a result, why we have here a taking of drugs to overcome the pain and help them endure the Great Tribulation. And then drugs will figure largely in the religion of that day. And it will be a regular drug culture and drug religion in the days of the Great Tribulation period. Now, what we are seeing today is very small compared to what it will be then. Also, there will be resorting to everything that will deaden the pain or attempt to lift them out of the trouble of the Great Tribulation. Liquor will become certainly very prominent again. It's certainly very prominent now. And the big problem in this country today actually is not drugs, but it's alcohol. And I've been over that now several times, but I want to read to you a statement from Dr. Seiss. Our Seiss, as some call it. And Dr. Seiss, our Seiss, was at the turn of the century. The book I have of his was printed, I think, in 1906. That goes back a long ways. Now, I want to read his statement. And the reason I mention the date is, I thought he wrote it yesterday. Or maybe he was preparing it for tomorrow's edition of your local paper. But let me read this statement, for this is his comment on the word sorcery. I'm reading now. We have only to think of the use of alcoholic stimulants, of opium, of tobacco, of the rage of cosmetics and medicaments to increase love attractions, of resorts to the pharmacopoeia in connection with sensuality, of the magical agents and treatments alleged to come from the spirit world for the benefit of people in this, of the thousand impositions in the way of medicines and remedial agents, encouraging mankind to reckless transgression with the hope of easily repairing the damages of nature's penalties, of the growing prevalence of crime induced by these things, setting loose and stimulating to activity the vilest passions, which are eating out the moral sense of society. For the beginnings of that moral degeneracy to which the seer here alludes as characteristic of the period when the sixth trumpet is sounded. And that's the end of the quotation. Now, very frankly, you would think that he had written that for today. But in his day, why, drugs and even alcohol was not used to the extent that it is today. There was no great drug culture, nor was drugs and alcohol such a big problem in his day as it is today. And these other things that are mentioned here. And also, drugs are used today in practically all of these modern cults that use sex as a drawing card also. And so we are told here that they were guilty not only of sorceries, but of fornication, not only of indulging in drunkenness and in drugs, but also fornication, and that leads to thefts. Now, it's alarming today the way that adultery is being practiced in this land. Of course, that is given by the crowd that are promoting it as an evidence of our liberty today and our tremendous advancement of civilization. It's interesting that instead of playing the Requiem, why, they want to sing and dance and say that we're improving today, that the race is doing that thing. But fornication and robbery and thefts, if you please, are going to be increased, and the emphasis that will be placed upon them. I think that Antichrist will use all three of these to bring mankind into subjection to himself. Now, this is a tremendous passage here, so that mankind will be easily lured in that day. Under the influence of drugs, why, he will accept anything. You know, one of the reasons that the nightclubs push liquor, not only for the money that there is in it, but it makes their entertainers acceptable. A very lousy singer or comedian just goes over good. If you've had two cocktails and three cocktails, why, he's a star. And that will put Antichrist over. And that is exactly what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:9 through 12. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And that's one of the reasons that I believe that the gospel will go out to every creature before the rapture. And certainly, each one's going to hear it during the great tribulation period. So this only happens to those who've rejected the word of God. And I'm reading now from Paul again. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And the moment that you reject the gospel and shut your heart to God, you are wide open for the big lie when it comes along. And that's the reason so many today fall for everything that comes along. Someone says, those that stand for nothing, they'll fall for anything. Well, that's it exactly. Those today that are not standing for the word of God, they're easy prey for the cults. Now, that brings us to chapter 10. And chapter 10 is the hiatus. Here is this period of explanation of the trumpets, of something that we haven't gotten so far. So we have here the interlude between the sixth and seventh trumpets. And in the first seven verses, we have the strong angel with the little book. And then from verses 8 through 11, John eats the little book. All right? This chapter begins the second of a series of interludes between the 6th and 7th, whatever the series was. It was first seals, and now it's trumpets, and it's used to describe the various phases of the Great Tribulation that we'd not get otherwise. And so between the 6th and 7th seals, there were two groups who were redeemed during the Great Tribulation, and they were sealed. Now here, between the 6th and 7th trumpets, we have three personalities introduced. In this chapter, the mighty angel is described. And in chapter 11, the two witnesses are introduced, though not identified. Now, there has been a very definite disagreement as to the identity of the mighty angel here. Let me read verse 1 in my translation. And I saw another strong or powerful angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, as we've said, there's disagreement among outstanding and fundamental Bible expositors here. And this is one of the places where, very frankly, I don't think it's fatal or that it's something that would divide brethren. But you will find that Godet and Vincent, Pettengill, DeHaan, Ironside, Walter Scott, and William Kelly all identify this strong angel as Christ. Now, Newell and others consider him to be just an angel of great power and authority, but not Christ. And also, Dr. Walvoord takes that viewpoint, and Vernon McGee takes that viewpoint also. Now, you see that if you go with either crowd here, you'll be in good company. But that first group are some men that I've had great respect for and have loved in the Lord. I've known three of those men, and they were my dear friends. But this is no occasion to divide. But I only say this, if you follow them, and it'll be all right if you do, you'll be in good company. But, of course, if you want to be right, you'll want to come along with me on this. Now, I think there's ample evidence to show that he's only a mighty angel. In other words, Christ does not appear in Revelation as an angel. It's true that in the Old Testament, you see the pre-incarnate Christ as the angel of the Lord. But you see, after he took on himself our humanity, and he died and rose again, and he's now in a glorified body, we see him in the place of great power and glory, yonder at God's right hand. Now, we never see him as an angel again. When he was here in his humanity, he was not an angel. He was a man. And therefore, he is revealed in the book of Revelation, definitely as the glorified Christ, as the post-incarnate Christ. He's exalted to the nth degree. And it's well to keep before us constantly that this book is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. New glories of his person and his power and performance are unfolded in each chapter. And he's now the one judging a Christ-rejecting earth. Now, again, let me say that we're told here, and I want to look at the text very carefully, we're told it's another strong angel. Another here actually means that it's another of the same kind. And the other strong angels that we were introduced to was back in chapter 5, verse 2, and there was no argument. It was not Christ. And so it's the livery of this angel that has led some to identify him as Christ. That is, the way that he's garbed. Though all angels are the servants of Christ in this final book of the Bible, this one is the special envoy of Christ. He's another great angel, and he bears all the credentials of his exalted position. And he comes down out of heaven from the presence of Christ, the one who is in the midst of the throne. Now he's clothed with a cloud. That's his uniform as a special envoy from Christ. The clouds of glory are associated with the second coming of Christ, but the angel described here is not coming in clouds of glory, but he's clothed with a cloud. Furthermore, this is not the second coming of Christ to the earth to establish his kingdom. Rather, this angel makes the announcement that he's coming soon. Angels, you recall, announced his first coming, and they will announce his second coming to the earth. Now there's the rainbow upon his head. That's the cap for his uniform. And this is a reminder of God's covenant with man, that though the judgments have come thick and fast, and as we've seen, they're weird and wild, and it beggars language to describe them, that rainbow indicates that God will not send a flood to destroy man again. We are told that his face was as the sun. That's his badge of identification. This is the signature of the glorified Christ. It does not follow that this one must be therefore the Son of God. Why? Well, Moses' face shone after he'd been in the presence of God. This angel's face is shining because he's come out from the presence of Christ. And you'll recall the raiment of the creatures at the resurrection of Christ also shown. I'll not turn to it, but it's in Luke 24:4. The angel of Revelation 18:1 is a light giver as the sun and moon, yet no one asserts that he is Christ. I take it that this is not Christ, but is what it says, an angel, another great mighty angel. Now his feet are as pillars of fire. That's part of his uniform. He has to have shoes, and he's come to make a special and solemn announcement of coming judgment. And all of these features of identification are his credentials and connect him to the person of Christ as his special envoy. The Lord Jesus is running everything at this particular point. He is the judge of all the earth. Now, verses 2 and 3 read, "And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a great voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, the seven thunders spoke their own voices." Now, the little book engages our attention here. What is this little book? Is it the same book that you have back when the Lord Jesus took the seven-seal book and broke all the seals? Now, is the book an open book? Is that the one? Or is there another book in mind, and what book would it be? Well, we'll find out at this point that even some of the men that agreed with me about the angel, they're going to disagree with me about the book. But again, I say to you, I'm sure that you'd like to be with this fine company of men, but you do want to be right, don't you? Well, we'll wait till next time and see what that is. So until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
If you're enjoying these studies in Revelation and you want to expand your personal library of prophecy, we've got several interesting resources available to you in our online bookstore at ttb.org. Or if you'd like some help in selecting the right book, or you'd like us to mail you our catalog that highlights our most popular resources, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you call us, will you please mention the call letters of the station where you hear Through the Bible? Or if you listen online or through our app, tell us that as well. As I mentioned before, this little bit of information helps us make important decisions and be wise stewards of your generous gifts to this ministry. Well, It's no secret that there's ongoing controversy over the land of Israel. So join us tomorrow as Dr. McGee reveals who's the rightful owner. Until then, I'm Steve Schwetz. For all of us here at Through the Bible, we're praying that God's great grace, mercy, and peace would be with you as you walk with Him today. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.